Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. Information presented here is inspired by spirit and brought to you by me, your spirit messenger, Nicole Quinn. Well, happy Monday, everybody. I hope everyone had a good week. The chat room is open right now on the page. So, you know, just a tip, use this as a resource to connect with some other people who are on the same page as you, because I've met so many wonderful people through the Blog Talk chat rooms. You can find friends, and you can actually friend people on here just like you can on Facebook. So, yes, you can use the chat to ask questions during the show, but in actuality, it's a little hard for me to try to go back to the chat room, pick up the question, and then sort of redirect where I'm going. So if you actually have a question, it's probably better if you keep it simple and on topic if you're going to post it in the chat room. And if you'd like to ask something more specific, you can call into the show, and the number's posted right there on the Blog Talk Radio page. The guest call-in number is 646-929-0174. So what's going on? Well, this week I went in and I revamped the look of my website. That's confessionsofaspiritmessenger.com, and that's also my blog. I decided that it was time for me to get with it, because I wasn't really getting a lot of people that were clicking on the links that I had posted on there, and I realized it's because they're probably so little you really couldn't get them. Like you didn't notice that they were there. So I threw in some new buttons. And I have, my Twitter name is on there. It's Spirit Messages. You can actually just click on the Follow Me on Twitter button. There is a link to the Facebook fan page, so that you can be on the fan site, which is on Facebook, and it's under Confessions of a Spirit Messenger. You should be able to find it if you search, but probably, you know, just as easy for you to go there and click on it directly and save you some trouble. And I also put on there, I'm just going to paste this in the chat room in case anybody is interested in just clicking on it real quick. I have a link on there for my examiner.com articles. And I'm just getting started with that stuff. I'm trying to keep the local angle because I really want it to be a local thing. So this is what I'm doing. Basically, in order to be consistent, I'm going to try to do this weekly reading on my column, and I'm going to do it kind of like an Ann Landers style thing. You know, you ask your question, but the answer is going to come from me, and I'll be pulling you three different cards to answer your question. And it will be posted on there so everybody can see, because God knows when one person has a question, there's probably about a million other people that have the same one. So in that spirit, if you're interested in participating in that, there are a couple of different ways you can get me. You can either post it on the fan page on Facebook. Just post your question. Put your location there. I'm trying to get people from San Antonio, but if you're not, that's okay, too. You can just put it on there. If you want to email it, you can do that here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can send it to healingstarspirits@yahoo.com. And that's about all I have to say about that. I do have an article up there, the latest one. Is on the Akashic Records reading that I have with Bonnie Owian, and she's in Boerne, Texas. Fantastic lady. I think she might do them by phone if you're interested. I highly recommend her. She is definitely a very bright soul, definitely. And I'm going to be seeing her again this week. I'm going to be taking a friend of mine, and we're going to do a past life regression with her. And because Bonnie also does that, she's a hypnotist. So that should be interesting. Can't wait to see who she was in the past life. And she's petrified to go by herself. She's like, I don't want to go by myself. Are you good? And I'm like, okay, I'll go. So I'm kind of like the chaperone here. So that should be fun. Well, today's show, we're going to talk about readings. So let's see. Have you ever wondered if mediums and psychics do readings for themselves? Because they do. They do. And they use the same methods, pretty much the tools of the trade that they're going to use for you if you go to them for a reading. And I'll just list off a couple of them. I'm sure there's people in here that have a bunch of different methods that they use. And there are some that are not going to be on this list, and there's nothing wrong with it. If you found a way that works for you, whatever it is, don't feel like you need to do something that everybody else is doing, because if you do that, you're going to miss out. Your gift works the way it works for you. It's really not, there's no formula. So let's see, I got one of the things that I actually do have that are extremely fun to play with are dowsing rods. They're supposed to be, you know, a way to find water. And they're just so much fun. Usually you get two of them, and it's like there's a handle, and then they kind of, there's like two long rods attached. They're made out of like copper or some kind of metal. And you just hold them right in front of you, and you ask the question, and they will start to swing. And it's crazy, and it's like you think, oh, my God, I must be doing this. But I don't know how it works. They just work. So you hold them out in front of you, ask your question. You can ask a couple of test questions first, you know, is my name Nicole? And it'll teach you what yes and no is. So show me no. If it goes to the left, then you test it. Is my name Nicole? If it goes to the right, then you know that you're connected with the tool and you're doing some good things. Pendulums, kind of similar. There's a book posted on the site right now, Blog Talk Radio site, that I have at the top of the page. And it's by a guy called Raymond Grace. And this guy is the pendulum guy. He's, you know, he was your typical Joe anybody. And he figured out how to use the pendulum to do a lot of different things. And he actually says you can use the pendulum to change the vibration of things and make them better for you. So that's another tool that you can use. And generally people can do, you know, the typical movements on that are, you know, left to right, up and down, circular one way, and then rotate, and the opposite would be like the opposite. So if you rotate clockwise and that's yes, then counterclockwise would be no. So you can get some pretty decent readings with that, and you want to find a pendulum that connects with you. So don't just pick one because it's pretty. You want to hold it and really feel like, does this belong to me? Is this the right one to use? And just get that feeling in your gut, or wait for that truth to come to you however it comes to you. The next one is going to be a little bit more complicated, but really, really fun. Crystals. You can actually use crystals and do a reading for yourself. And there's a couple of different ways you can do this. If you're a person who already loves crystals and you have a whole bunch of them like all over your house or in a box somewhere, you can just pull a crystal. You can pull one, you can pull five, however many you want. Just open it up. You can close your eyes, or you can just put your hand over your box and ask first, please help me to pick the crystal that's going to help me today. And they all have different properties. So when you pick up the crystal, if you're not sure what it is, or if you're not sure, you know, you just bought a bunch of them because they were really, you know, interesting to you, there's plenty of books out there you can look up what they are, what they mean, what the vibration of the actual crystal is. There's one that's really good, excuse me, and it's called The Book of Stones, Who They Are and What They Teach. And that's written by Robert Simmons and Naisha Asian. And these people are the guys behind heavenandearthjewelry.com, which they sell all these different kinds of stones, and they sell them in gem quality too. So you can actually wear them and have people think, wow, what's that rock around your neck? Like, if you're that way, that's cool. But a lot of us want to be able to wear them when we're going to like our jobs or, you know, places where you don't really necessarily want people to notice you and ask you questions because you're trying to go about your business. So I have a couple of pieces of moldavite that I really love, and they're gem quality. You know, you look at them and it just looks like a beautiful cut stone, and they're pendants. I have rings. Moldavite's a very strong stone for me, and my mom actually bought me a couple of those from Jewelry Television, if you can believe it. I couldn't believe it when I saw them on there. I thought, wow, this is such a crazy stone. I can't believe that, like, modern jewelry makers would actually be interested in using it, because I don't know. I just thought they were more into sapphires and diamonds than the traditional stones, but here they are. So if you're on, if you have cable, you can find that channel and you can see what they have cooking, or you can go on their website too, and that's jtv.com. Now, Crystals is, yep, Love Is in the Earth by Melody is a great book too. That one, I don't know, sometimes I have conflicting views with what that book says, so I try to pick more than one thing. But if you find a crystal book that you feel like really resonates with you, that's just, you know, talks about crystals and what about them and everything, you can just pick it up. It's for you. Don't, you know, necessarily say that if I said I didn't like it, that you're not going to like it, because you might. The other part of using crystals that might be interesting to you, if you're not a person that has collection and you're thinking about, well, I kind of want to do this, but I don't really go out and invest in all these crystals. You know, I don't have any place to put them or whatever. You can pick up a couple of decks that are out there. They're actually oracle decks, which is the next thing that I was going to move on to. And oracle decks, they're basically meant for you to pull a card and get guidance. It's not the traditional tarot. Yes, there are tarot cards out there, and there are many variations on the tarot where, I mean, you can even pick up the vampire tarot deck, which, like, all the depictions on there have something to do with vampires, or whatever your thing is, you'll find one. There's an Arcturian deck, which is, like, all the stuff from, like, Lady Guinevere, Camelot, all of that kind of imagery. There are decks that focus on Avalon, Celtic decks, whatever you like, they're out there. And they're Oracle cards or tarot decks. I feel like they're pretty much along the same lines of how you actually use them. So there is one on crystals. I don't have the link right now, but if you pop on Amazon.com and you put in crystal oracle deck, you'll find them. There's more than one. Since I have a bunch of crystals here, I don't actually use any of those decks, but not everybody has those. The other method we use, well, meditation. You can get answers when you're meditating. You can sit there and just kind of open up, ask a question, see if the answer comes. Sometimes it's going to come in the form of a thought. Sometimes you might have to wait until later and there'll be an outward sign. Oh, yeah, well, the most obvious way of getting guidance and trying to do a reading for yourself, which really is just asking for guidance, is prayer. Hello, prayer works. I think a lot of us in the New Age community sometimes forget that. I had somebody ask me, could you ask so-and-so, which is a person of mine in spirit, to do something or, like, watch over this person? And I said, hey, you know, you guys, you can pray. You don't need to come to someone like me all the time. You can actually just pray. You can pray to God. You can pray to your angels. Whatever it is that you're connected to, you can ask for help. Help will come, but don't decide how help will come, because if you do that, you're going to miss the actual sign. They usually do it in a way that it's more subtle, but you will notice it. So working with guides and angels, ask for signs and symbols. And when you start working with these entities, you definitely want to make sure that you keep a journal, you keep a track of anything that comes to you on a regular basis, and don't necessarily have to define everything. Just document it. Because what's going to happen is over time, you're going to build what I would call your spiritual vocabulary. And what this means is, let's say every time you ask for a specific thing, you see a specific image in your mind. Let's say you're clairvoyant. If you get that image of, like, for me, one of the real strong ones is a butterfly. It took me a couple of months before I figured out what it meant. But the consistency of it and listening during meditation and asking, I did a lot of these different things. I don't use any one method. I came to know the butterfly appears whenever I'm really worried and I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. And it's sort of like spirit guides and my people in spirit telling me, don't worry, you're going in the right direction. You're on your way. It's okay. So the only way that I would have figured that out is by consistently working at it. That's one of the things that I think is a kind of a misconception. Not everybody is just, you know, just falls out of a tree and gets hit in the head with an apple and boom, they have all the answers. You have to work at it. It's part of you. And that's why people say everybody has a gift. And the only way that you're going to develop it, just like anything else, is by working at it. So, you know, one of the things that people ask, well, how do I know if I'm doing it? Or how do I know if it's really guidance? Well, once again, if you're afraid that it's not going to be the right thing, it's going to stop you from developing. You have to kind of go and just keep doing it, work with it. Don't look to somebody else for the answers. In the beginning, it's very tempting to do that because you're sure that somebody else has done it first and somebody else has been there first and knows the answer. But in truth, people don't. You know, I can go to other psychics and I can get a reading, but if I go to another psychic and I ask them if something that I got is something like X, Y, or Z, they may not always be able to tell me that because that's my personal, like, shorthand with spirit. You know, everyone's got their own kind of symbolism that works for them. So it's really a very personal thing, and I'm sure that, you know, people don't really want to know they have to do the work, but you have to do the work. If you want it bad enough, you'll do the work. Automatic writing, that's also another way that you can get the answers. And, you know, I'm not a scientist, not a doctor, but I know this. When you're doing automatic writing, just like when you're doing, you know, like when you're driving or doing an activity that's sort of like second nature, you do it over and over again, it does something to busy that little ego part of your brain where it's your earthly existence and you're physically doing something. And it occupies that. And at the same time, it allows that other part of your brain to open up and actually pick up other things. So you'll notice when you're driving, you may have all these other great thoughts. You may have ideas about things that you want to do later. And yet you're still driving. You haven't gotten in an accident. You haven't driven into a tree. And even though you haven't acknowledged every stop you've come to, you've been stopping at red lights. You've been going about your business as if, you know, everything is completely controlled, and yet you know your mind is in a different place. So automatic writing works very similar. It's like you can either use a pen, you can actually use a computer and type. That works as well. What you want to do is get yourself in that mode where you're typing, but act as if you're listening to a lecture so that you're disengaged and you're in that position where you're waiting for something and you're going to type what you get. Just thinking that thought, you'll get stuff. It'll start to come through. You might have to type a little bit, just start on any kind of random subject. Like if it's going to be a two-way dialogue and you're talking to someone, you would do the Q&A thing if you were writing it down. Well, you can do the same thing on the keyboard. You know, I'm really concerned about my job situation. This person at work seems to have it in for me. Just type it out. As you're typing, other thoughts will creep into your mind, and you'll just find yourself getting an answer. You may think, oh, that's just me. Doesn't matter. Keep doing it. The more that you do it, the more you're going to get used to the feeling. And then as you get used to it, like any other repetitive action, you'll start to let go. And that part of you that is just determined to like remain in complete control will start to ease up a little bit. And you'll actually start getting some answers. So that is the basic rundown of the different ways that you can get, you know, psychics and mediums get their own information for themselves. Now, we don't always get the whole straight answer. So basically, you know, like when if you come to one of us and you have a question that has to do with, you know, a relationship, for example, with some psychics, yes, they might tell you this is supposed to be this way and that's why it's working like this, or they might tell you the relationship's going to end, you need to just let it go. I personally don't come from that school of thought. It's like ingrained in me to I have this specific, it's almost like I have a specific coding that is meant only to guide people. My guidance is meant only to guide you. It's not meant to tell you what's going to happen. I've had this inner conflict with myself, like, why can't I just tell this person you're going to get married in 3 years and have 4 children, and then you're going to work at home and have like a, you know, a canning, you're going to be canning jelly and stuff. I mean, that does not work with me. I don't know why. I try to get it. And I get blocked because it's like, nope, that's not what you're supposed to do. Listen to us. Let us tell you the right thing for this person. It's almost like I'm not the Cliff Notes. I'm kind of like a cheat sheet, though. Like, I can help you. Okay, well, you're in this relationship. Let's talk a little bit about it. And while you're talking, I kind of zone out while people talk, and I listen. I get the vibration of their voice, and I listen to my people. And they'll tell me, okay, ask her if she notices whenever she's feeling a certain way, how he reacts. Okay, and then that's how I go with it. And it's always meant to help the person get out of the situation themselves. Life is meant for you to live. It's meant for you to experience. It's not meant for you to just get this book one day that has all your answers and then, oh, okay, today I'm going to make a left turn. Someone's going to try to cut me off. I'm just going to stop. I'm not going to go when the light turns. It's not about that. That's really not going to work. And I really don't think that I'm doing you any kind of service if I tell you how things are going to happen. I think that's up to you. Why would I? That's giving your power away to me. And I see everybody in the chat room's kind of like agreeing with that. Thanks, guys. It's good to have some support. There's a lot of people that do this kind of work, just like any other kind of work, that are not exactly in it for the right reasons. There are people that are very egotistical about it. They want to be the one that you go to with because you have the answers. I'm not that guy. I'll tell you right now, you have the answers. And when people sit in front of me and they ask me a question, I'll tell you. You already know the answer to this. If I feel that. If I feel like you're just avoiding and avoiding, I'll deal with that too. And it's almost like a form of counseling because so many of us run away from what we know is the right thing for us to do. And even though it's the right thing and we know it's going to be for the best, we're just afraid. We just don't know. Something could happen. I'm not 100% sure on this, so I'm just going to stay stuck in this situation because it makes me feel secure. And it's really just about, you know, having this sense of inner knowing and trusting it. Because if you don't trust it, you're always going to be going to other people. And when you start to do that over and over again, you're not living your life anymore. Everybody else is living it. And then the other problem is the accountability. Of course, when you get advice from someone, there's the temptation there to say, well, I'm going to take your advice because you're telling me it's going to work. Don't absolve yourself of your responsibility. Hell no. I don't think so. Take the responsibility for yourself. You can ask people that you think might know better, and that's fine. They have more experience. They've been through this several times. It's fine to get a viewpoint. It's not okay to let them tell you this is how it should be and go and do this, and for you to mindlessly just follow. It's not okay. You can do that. Everyone's got free will, but if you really are interested in doing this for the right reasons, learning exactly what it is that you're supposed to learn here so you don't have to come back 100 more times and forget about it and try to figure it out all over again, then you're going to want to do this in a way that has integrity, in a way that is responsible. I kind of have this whole thing where I really enjoy talking to other psychic people. And most of the time when I find them, I find that I attract to people that operate a lot like I do. And it's really different because when you go out into the mainstream and like you'll see a sign that says psychic comm reader, sometimes you'll go in there and it is very classic, like the movies. You know, you walk in, there's lots of crystals, there's all kinds of draperies hanging down. There might be like a cat. I'm not into that. If that's what's going to have to get me to like believe that you can do something, I don't want that. That's just not me. If that's, you know, the way that you do things and it's just a natural thing for you to want to set yourself up like that, okay, I found that it's more or less a show for the public because they can't really do what they say that they can do, or they feel like they're insecure and they need to make sure that you know how great they are. If you come to me, I'm going to be wearing regular clothes. I'm not getting dressed up. I'm not getting dressed up like a swami. I'm not going to get dressed up like a crazy gypsy lady. Although I really like those clothes because they're very billowy and comfortable. And, you know, I've been blessed with a little bit more than the average person. So they're just more airy-fairy and comfortable for me. But needless to say, that's not what it's about for me. It's not about presenting myself. It's not about telling you how great I am. It's about you. And it's about you facing your situations head on, not running away from them. And this is another problem when it comes to reading for yourself. Now, oh, thank you, Olga. We're normal, and I love you all. I'm glad to be surrounded by really, like, sensitive people that are also ethical. It's a very important thing to be ethical. That's a good one. I have no jewel glued to my forehead unless I'm trying to cover a pimple. And you know what? If you like doing that, that's great. But my point being, just make it about the other person. If you're given this gift, it's not to be grandiose. It's to help other people. And if you're not going to be of service, you're not using your gift responsibly. Now, when you get this beautiful deck or whatever it is that you've decided is your tool for spirit, you're going to start pulling a card here and there, maybe do one a day till you get to know the deck. This is a very common thing because it's kind of, some of these decks have like over 70 cards and you're not going to know them all right away. It's not cheating to look at the book, but don't go completely by what the book says, because the book is only going to be a guide for you. And one of my favorite decks is the Psychic Tarot by John Holland. John Holland, he's got a whole bunch of books out there. He's very down to earth. He's very approachable. If you're a person who's turned off by some of these crazy looking psychics with the long nails and the crazy, you know, hair and all that, you're going to be really comfortable with John Holland because he's just a very sincere person. And he comes off in a way that, you know, you're kind of comfortable with what he's telling you because you can tell it comes from the right place. So his deck really resonates with me. A lot of people are buying this deck. I've seen it in a bunch of different places that I've been, other people that have it, and I'm like, oh, it's my deck. And then I'm like, no, wait, it's just the John Holland deck. It's not my deck. You can pull cards once a day, see if you, you know, can start getting to know the imagery, get to know. And there's a number of things on these cards that you're going to find useful. Like if you're a person who's into numerology, you're definitely going to like these cards because they have numbers on the top. And the numbers, if the numbers have significance to you, if you're that kind of a person, you can use that as part of your reading. There's words on the bottom. They're kind of more like conceptual words, like emotional withdrawal, stand your ground, accelerated motion. What's really important, though, for me is the imagery. There are so many times when I pull these cards and the imagery speaks to me more than what it says on the bottom. Like I'll look at a card and it'll say one thing, and I'll look at the picture and it tells me something else, and I trust what I get. So if it's something else, like, for example, on a past show, I used my bird signs deck and I pulled the owl. And the owl had something to do with inner knowing. But from all of the hundreds of books that I've read, I know more about the owl than that. So I looked at the card and I thought, this has an element of deception associated with it, because it reminded me of the moon card in the traditional tarot. And the moon card, there is a theme of deception there, things that are coming to light, things that are generally in the dark but are about to come to light. So I went with that, and it was right. And that's the kind of sort of practice thing that you're going to need to practice over and over again before you start to learn, this is okay, I've had this experience before, so now I accept it. So practice, practice, practice. But you're going to find yourself one day pulling a card. I'll pull one out just for, you know, fun. Okay. Destiny. And I'm looking at this card, and it's the John Holland deck. So there's a woman, and she's kind of in like the flower of life. She has her two hands over her heart, and then there's like images of her in a circle. So let's say I didn't ask any questions specifically. I just kind of pulled the card. Let's say I look it up, and the book literally says, good luck and fortune are now in your favor. A cycle of change, success, and growth is imminent. Life ebbs and flows in its natural journey, and the Destiny card signifies that good karma has come full circle. And then you go on a little bit further, and it tells you, this is a time to allow your problems to be replaced by solutions. So this is a little bit more in-depth, and it gives you a little bit of direction. Believe in destiny as you learn to let go of old issues. Oh, that's hilarious. I was just going to say that to someone today about, you know, what's important. Letting go of the old stuff, make room for the new stuff. So that's actually kind of funny, and it's probably Spirit's way of saying don't forget about that. But let's say I don't like that card. I don't agree with that card. It did not tell me what I want to know. I wanted to know if I'm going to get a good job. Well, if you look back, it says, good luck and fortune are now in your favor. A cycle of change, success, and growth is imminent. And you need to be able to read through the lines a little bit. It's not going to be as clear cut. You have to think about it. Okay, it's telling me that change stood out to me very, very like a light is shining over that word. Then it says it's time to allow your problems to be replaced by solutions. Okay, what's that telling you once again? That there's a change that's coming, and the really important aspect of this is that you allow it to happen. Now, this is the situation that happened with me. I got laid off from my job. I was asking because I wasn't really happy there to begin with, and I was asking and asking. This was before I really allowed myself to go full-blown with this. And I was getting my answers. I was getting them in the form of thoughts because I'm very clear cognizant. It's sort of like a stream of consciousness just drops into my head, and I can talk as if it's my own idea, but I know it's not because I didn't think of it. So I kept pulling another card from a Dorian Virtue deck, and it said, a new dawn. A new dawn. Wow, this is good. What's that mean? I don't know. I sure as hell didn't think it was going to mean I was going to get laid off, because you think laid off, oh, no, I lost my income. I don't know what to do. I'm terrible. You know, change can evoke mass hysteria in people. But in actuality, this was my transition. This was the way that I was going to move into doing this work and to let go of that stuff, because if anyone's ever worked in corporate America out there, holy moly, it is just very intense, very stressful, deadline-driven, absolutely no room for creativity in a lot of aspects. So for me, this was actually not a very bad thing. It was a positive thing, even though at the time, you know, I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? How did this happen? Something wrong. Now when this kind of stuff happens, I have a higher perspective. I trust it. But it's taken me 3 years to get to this point. And I highly doubt that anyone else out there is going to get it overnight. If you do, fantastic. I'm always open to the possibilities. But be patient with yourself. Be kind to yourself. Know that you are important and that you matter in the scheme of things. And don't let everybody else's opinions and actions outweigh what you feel for yourself. That's a mistake that a lot of people make, especially sensitive people, because when you're sensitive, you want everybody around you to be happy, because then you're going to be happy, because you're comfortable, because what you're picking up from them is, you know, it's going to be even. It's not going to be chaotic. You're going to feel safe around them. As soon as somebody around you feels chaotic, you feel chaotic. So there's this huge temptation to always be doing for others making sure everybody else is happy and satisfied, and then you look down and you think, oh my God, I haven't showered, I haven't washed my clothes, and it's like you can't do that. You have to make yourself equally as important as everybody around you, and this is what's going to allow you to take that next step forward where you know that what you have is special. It's no longer something that enslaves you to other people, because it can feel that way when you're a person that's sensitive. You're like, I belong to everybody. I don't belong to myself. You're not a slave. You're a servant. You're a servant of God. You're not a servant of everybody around you. Let that be what you say to yourself over and over again. I'm doing this work in the service of God, in the service of the angels. One of the other things that's going to do for you is remind you that it has nothing to do with you. It has only to do with whatever the divine plan is, but that you're part of that plan and your part in it is to help other people understand it or to help guide them in some way. So the formula that I like to, you know, it's not really an exact science, but I like to always say that to myself because I don't want to put my ego in the middle of it, because once that happens and it becomes all about me, I'm no longer being of service to other people. Now I'm doing things for myself. I'm becoming a person who abuses power. That's not what I want. Power is something that I've talked about in past shows, and it has gotten a bad rap. And it's gotten a bad rap because so many people that come into power have no idea what to do with it. They abuse it. They use it to further themselves. They don't use it responsibly. If you had the power, if you had all this money, like a big corporation does, and your choice was to make a profit, you know, and cut a bunch of people's jobs or keep them and take a little less in your own pocket, even though you're making bazillions of dollars, and you're not going to be homeless, let's face it, you know. I think that right then and there, that the decision that you make says a whole lot about your soul. Because if you're a kind of person that's just going to do everything to further yourself with no regard for other people, you're not a person who's using your power responsibly. So when it comes to doing these readings, for yourself, for anybody else, you have to just keep that in mind. So I'm going to go into the chat room real quick here. And one of my friends says, she pulled the Power of Thought cards. Oh, I don't know those cards. Life is simple and easy. All that I need to know is given at any given moment is revealed to me. I trust myself. I trust life. All is well. That's a pretty good card. And I'm sure that gave you kind of like a really settled, comfortable feeling, because a lot of times the vibration of the card, if you're a person that senses things through feeling, like a clairsentient person, just with the vibration of the card itself, you'll just be put at ease, and that feels like one of those cards to me. So that's awesome. I mean, if anybody out there is pulling cards from themselves, just, you know, try to share it in the chat room with other people. There's a million decks. If you ever go into a New Age store, I mean, you can find them in the bookstore. If you go into a New Age store, you'll see so many, and ones that you won't see in a bookstore. Because a lot of people that put these cards out, they're not putting them out by huge companies. They're putting them out by smaller companies, and they have to be a little bit more selective with where they go, because some of the larger chains only want things that are, you know, super mainstream. There's a guarantee that they're all going to sell. There's kind of like a sales process going on there that you need to be a little bit aware of, I guess. I'm a marketing person from my past life here, so I kind of always go that way with it. Okay, so those were the Deck of Affirmations card by Louise Hay. Okay, now I remember. I just didn't remember the name of the cards. Those are really, really pretty. Now, the reason why I focus so much on the cards is because the cards have so many different aspects to them that one of them is likely to speak to you in some way. Whether it's the imagery, the numbers, the words, the symbolism, there's going to be symbolism on them. There's one of the cards in John Holland's deck called Intuition. And the woman in the card is wearing an ankh, which is that ancient Egyptian symbol that means immortal, you know, life everlasting, around her neck. So that's going to be a symbol. There's a door in the background, you know, with light coming out behind it. Symbolizes the fact that all you have to do is open up that door and you're going to walk into the light. There's something waiting for you on the other side. You know, you're just at the threshold. I can use a million different ways of saying it, but whatever calls to you from one of these images, if it means something to you, even if it reminds you of something from a movie, this is another common thing that happens with spirit, is because spirit is using your thoughts to communicate with you and your reference points, it may feel like you're just remembering something. That's very, very common, and what's going to happen is you might pull a card, and this is like a new deck for you, and you think, oh, these are so cool, and you look down and you see an image, and you're like, wow, this is just from exactly like what it looked like in that scene from this movie. Okay, that's your reference point. Stop looking at the card and think, what did that mean to you? What was going on? What did that mean to you? Very likely, that's your message. That's the way that you're going to get it. And you have to go with it. You can look at the book, and I'm sure that a lot of people will do that until they finally know it. Now, there's people that will tell you sleep with your cards under your pillow or, you know, however to get them attuned to you. I can say with all honesty that I never needed to do any of those things. I listen to my guides. If my guides tell me, buy this deck, well, they don't tell you like that. They suggested, hey, this is a nice deck. What do you think? I get the deck. I had absolutely no connection with birds. I always thought bird people were weird, honest to God. And they were, like, showing me birds, and they were, like, making sure I noticed all the birds in my backyard. And I'm like, this is really weird because I don't really care about birds. But all of a sudden, I feel like they mean something. Told me to go to the bookstore and check it out. I came across a deck all on birds, and I could not believe it. And I thought, well, I don't want to spend the money on it right now, or I don't know, maybe this isn't right. Well, I had to, they were stern with me. They're like, Cole, you trust us. This is something that's going to help guide you. It's going to help you work with people. So I bought it. And I don't even really need to look at the book half the time. I just know, and I don't know how I know, because like I said, never been a bird person. So you have to trust your instincts. And what I always say is, you know that it's real when it's not something you would have wanted or asked for. Absolutely. So let me just look. Let me check real quick and see if there's any callers. I had a caller, but they must have dropped off. But thank you, everybody, in the chat room. This is very, very lively today. I'm very excited to see people sharing things. It's a lot of times people just pop in there, and they're kind of just hanging out. They're listening. But I really love it when people interact with each other, because, like I said, there's so many times when I've been in chat rooms, and regardless of the subject, the people that are attracted to it that day, you're supposed to come into contact with for whatever reason. So if you see this person and you're like, wow, I don't know what it is, but I feel like this person has some kind of insight, you can instant message them. You can friend them on Blog Talk Radio. You know, get to know people. It's all about the connections. And just because you meet somebody doesn't mean it's the end-all, be-all, and it's the end of your trail. The next person you meet could just be a connection point for somebody else that's right behind them that you don't know about. Or it could be that they're going to say something. Maybe they're being guided by spirit without them even knowing it themselves. And they'll turn to you and they'll say, you know, I've had this problem for a long time, and this is a situation, and it will completely match up with what's going on with you. And that's a message to you. That's a message to you that you're not alone, and that you're not the only person that struggles with these things. And somehow, for whatever reason, as human beings, we absolutely need that. And I think it goes back to that feeling where we come here and we experience separateness. Separateness is, I am not connected with anybody. God, I'm not connected to God. I don't know where I belong. How can I find my way? That's the whole basis of human existence. We come here and we forget everything. It's unbelievable. But the journey back to ourselves is, however open you are, however evolved you are, or how many lives you've led, it is possible. There's a whole lot of people that have come across this earth that have been proof of that, that they know what's important. I like to use Jesus. I grew up Catholic, but, you know, Jesus really was a fantastic example of being able to do things here, be of service to people here, but always remember who he was here for and what the mission was. And that's a perfect example of what a person that has these abilities and knows about them and is working with them would do. So I'm going to pop into the crystal book real quick and just randomly pull a page and see what the crystal says. And this is going to be, I'm just going to ask really quick for my guides to give me a page that is going to help people today, will give them some kind of insight, regardless as to what their problem is, a little something for the day. So with that, let me just open it up. Okay, this opened up before and I didn't pay attention. Black Androdite Garnet. Our grounding, protection, knowledge, creative power. The element is earth, and the chakras, it says earth star, which is below the feet. It's below the first chakra. And let me just see. It is a grounding stone. This gemstone is a gemstone to kindle the magic and evoke the mysteries of the earth plane. Through communication with this stone, one can attune to elemental forces and engage their aid. So if anyone's been feeling really spacey or you feel like your head's in a million places, there's a solid message here for grounding and the method being connecting back to the earth. And that could be as simple as walking out and running your hands across the branch of a tree. Any kind of plant, they have a tendency to cleanse our energy. And if you just walk up to a tree, trees are fantastic. They are like, I don't know how to put it, but I feel like they are a really good representation of everything on this planet. Their roots run all the way into the ground. Their branches oftentimes match the same pattern and length of the branches of the roots, and yet there's this trunk in the middle, which is the bridge, and I feel like that's kind of where we are. So just go over, touch a tree, inhale really deeply, exhale through your mouth. You will feel such relief. It's crazy. You don't think anything's going to happen. You might think, whatever. It's a good thing. It does help you. I'm going to read from another part of it that talks about, and I've never seen this before. It's got to be some kind of form of garnet. Let me see. It's also known as melanite, M-E-L-A-N-I-T-E, derived from the Greek word for black. And it kind of looks like a bunch of cubes all fused together. So it's really cool looking. Might have to Google it, picture of it. It's an energy purifier. Well, that's kind of funny because that's what I was talking about with the trees, how they kind of cleanse your energy. But there's a part of it here that says it's a, where is that? Psychic protection. So physical and psychic protection. That's what I wanted to get at. Now, psychic protection can seem kind of, you know, I don't know, a little bit out there. But really what it's talking about is there are, like I said, people who are not responsible with what they're able to do. They can read you or they know your weak spots because they're able to pick that up from you. And they can use that to abuse you. They can use that to, and this can be anything, a work situation, anything. And what you want to do is surround yourself in the morning before you go to work. You can do it in the mirror while you're doing your hair or brushing your teeth. You just want to surround yourself with like a white light. If that doesn't work for you, pick whatever method does work for you. You can imagine that your angels are on either side of you and will remain there all day long, because they will. And you just want to make sure that you do that before you leave, because even if you're not aware of it and you're not actively doing it, there is a layer of protection that you've added simply by acknowledging that one thing, that you're wanting to be protected. The thought alone helps you. So it's pretty interesting. And a lot of the psychic stuff, you know, people are kind of always interested in that physical proof. Just pay attention during the day. Just see what happens. Somebody that usually comes over and heckles you a little bit in your cube, all of a sudden that day they're not available. Somebody's called them out of the office. They're in a conference or they're not there. And you can think it's a coincidence. If that makes you feel better, it's probably not a coincidence. You know, there's a lot of stuff that will happen when you ask for it without anything. Hello, we're part of this grand, huge universe. You don't have to do everything. Do you have to think about digestion every time you eat something? No. You'd be exhausted if you had to control every function of your body. Think about it that way. All the crazy things your body does all day long, the respiratory system, the circulatory system. I mean, do you have to think about your heart beating? Of course not. It's all being taken care of, and that's how you have to look at it. When you ask for something, it's all being taken care of. On some level, when, like, let's say you've got, like, you find yourself getting sick, there's a mechanism in your body. There's a communication system that your body will say, we need some help down here. You got to send us some white blood cells. We've got a little bit of an infection. You don't even need to know about that. It just happens. So in that same respect, you can ask, all right, God, having a little problem here. I'm kind of freaking out. I'm afraid of, you know, having a confrontation with this person today. Please just make it as smooth as possible. Help me to stay calm. And if at all possible, have it so that this doesn't need to even really happen today. God knows we've all felt like that. Let's see. Oh, my friend Karen is in the chat room. Hi, Karen. I haven't seen you in a really, really long time. So she's talking about how she just pulled a card, and it's confusion. Ah, confusion. They're always right. Well, sometimes you have to look at yourself, and not a lot of people like to do that. Not a big fan, you know. The hardest thing for us to face is ourselves. And what's funny is I was talking about this the other day to a really close friend of mine. This is going to seem off topic, but it's kind of not. It's a lot of what we're talking about here. There's a really weird show on now. I think it's on A&E or the Learning Channel called My Strange Addiction. I don't know if anyone's seen it. Some of the episodes are a little gross, but the overall thing is these people all have a specific issue that started at the time of this really bizarre behavior. And the extremes that they're going to avoid confronting the subject and looking within themselves are astronomical. You're willing to sit there all day long and not concentrate on your life, not disengage completely, and eat couch cushion because you can't deal with your life. That, to me, is heartbreaking, that you're willing not only to disengage, but to harm yourself in the process because you just can't face it. How hard it is can't possibly compare to the damage you're doing to yourself by whatever activity you're using to avoid it. I personally believe that a lot of what goes on here in society, on Earth in general, is because we're all afraid to face what's really going on within us. And we've created a world that's all about what's going on outside of us because that helps us to avoid having to deal with that. There are a number of people that have trouble with addictions, and I'm not judging at all. On the contrary, I can completely understand being so overwhelmed and so afraid to look within yourself that a bottle of Jack Daniels looks pretty good, and it's going to help you not think about it for a while. The problem is you can't keep running, and in the process, we start to damage ourselves, and then we start to damage the relationships, and relationships are super important here. It's one of the basic things that you come here to experience, because when you're separate, that's the key thing. When you know you're connected, there's no reason for you to have a relationship. You're being. You're just completely being, and you're in that space where there's absolutely nothing for you to worry about. When you come here, the separateness, the pain of feeling like you're alone, and then not wanting to look within can lead to a lot of these different kinds of behaviors. And that includes eating. There's a lot of people that do that, you know. That's a socially acceptable, to a certain extent, form of avoidance. Well, I'm just going to go out with my girlfriends, and we're going to eat 2 pints of Ben and Jerry's, and that's it. Call it a night. Really? Just picture me when you do something like that. Just picture me looking at you going, really? Because that's the very thing that's not going to help you. Now, I'm not saying that there are not going to be times when you really should take a step back, not deal with something just so you can collect yourself, but you got to go back to it. You have to reintroduce that situation to yourself and say, okay, however I'm going to be able to deal with this, pray, draw cards. Do these things that we're talking about today. If you absolutely feel as though you need to connect with your higher self, with God, your angels, your guides, and that's how you're going to deal with it, pull the cards. When you pull the card, don't run away from it. I don't like that card. I'm going to put it back. That was just a practice. Yeah, no, that was a practice. Take back. I do a take back. Don't do that to yourself. Just take the card. See what it has to say. What's the worst thing that's going to happen to you? The thing is not the decider of your fate. You are. That's what drives me nuts about that. It's like people think, oh, my God, this is the end-all, be-all. No. Everything's not the end-all, be-all. If you just take yourself aside and say, everything that goes on is the next step, there's only a step in the next direction. I don't end. I never began. I don't end. I'm infinite. There's absolutely nothing that I can see in front of me that's going to tell me how my life's going to be because that's my choice. So, no, you can't pull cards till you get what you want. You can if you want, but then what are you satisfying by doing that? You know, that's your ego. Your ego is not going to want you to go and face the situation, because your ego's job is to keep you wanting to really, you know, just do the basic stuff and not do anything beyond that. I wish I had an expert on ego. If anyone out there is an expert on the ego, like a study of the ego in terms of its function and all that, feel free to drop me a line, because I desperately would like to have you on the show. There's a whole lot of things that go on that, you know, they revolve around the ego. And you're not supposed to necessarily transcend the ego. Your ego and your spirit should be able to live together in harmony. You should be able to take, you know, whatever's coming from one, and then the spiritual side, whatever's coming from there, put them together and say, okay. And that's what I mean by walking with one foot in each world. You really shouldn't ever disengage completely from the physical world. Those are the kind of people that end up really going off the deep end and losing sight of everything. These are the times when you're so far off that you're not paying your bills, your house is a mess, you're buying new underwear every day because you don't want to do laundry. Yeah, anyone going to tell me they've never been there? I've been there. The laundry's piling up, and I'm like, no, I got to keep going. I don't have time to stop. And it's like, you have to keep yourself grounded. You can't just completely disengage and go off into the spiritual. It's a wonderful place to be, but you have to always come back. And contrary-wise, you don't want to be in the physical all the time and completely ignore your guidance and what your spirit's trying to tell you. They both serve an amazing purpose. And once, when all of us make it to the other side, it will be so crystal clear, and you're going to think, how could I not have seen that? How could I not have understood that? But you got to give yourself a break, because that's what we came here in order to experience. So, and everything definitely has a good or bad connotation when you're here, but it's not necessarily good or bad. It's just, it is what it is. You know, we can look at a natural disaster and say that was bad because it harmed people or it destroyed property. There's always another aspect of it where maybe it's a balance to something else, and we can avoid another major catastrophe. And this was just like letting the gas out of the soda before you open it. So there's always different ways that you can look at something. And if you can get that higher perspective, it helps you out a little bit. There's also a lot of people that, you know, with relationships, I get a lot of questions about, you know, am I going to meet somebody and all this other stuff. Relationships is going to be a huge topic. I think that's going to be next week's topic. Because what's going to happen with relationships this year, a lot of people are going to be letting go of relationships that no longer serve them. And from the higher viewpoint, when you have a relationship, 95% of the time, it's because you're meant to learn a lesson through the relationship. Yes, there are going to be some relationships that will last the entire lifetime. They may be even ones that you'll find yourself in the same relationship with the same person, or a different relationship with the same person in other lifetimes that haven't come yet. But this whole idea that we have, that we have to find our other half, that we're not whole without another person, and that we have to live a certain way in order to be fulfilled. Can I tell you something? There are a lot of people that are in those relationships that still have problems in other places. It's not going to be, you're going to find this person and you'll never have to think again. You won't have to worry again. In fact, it's probably going to be the opposite, because you'll have something that you're afraid to lose. And that's equally as frustrating and confusing as feeling like you're by yourself, because we put so much stock in these relationships. And I'm talking romantic relationships. That's the number one thing that I get. If you could just accept each person that comes into your life as a spirit who's here in a body just like you, and love them through their flaws, love them through the confusion and chaos that they bring upon themselves because they're trying so desperately to understand what they're doing here. That's what it's all about. It's not about, I'm going to stay married for the rest of my life. You know, the world will not come to an end if you get a divorce. The world will not come to an end if you have children and you're getting a divorce. All of these things, everything is in relationship with itself, and everything is as it's supposed to be. The problem comes in when we fight that. The problem comes in when we tell ourselves, God does not know what I need. I know what I need. This is what it's supposed to be like. this is where you get into trouble. If naturally something is going to fall away because it served its purpose, you have to allow it to go. You'll know deep in your gut if this is a challenge for you that you're supposed to engage in. Most of the time, it's not. I've had a lot of relationships in my past. We're talking friendships, romantic relationships, whatever. And there's one in particular that still haunts me every once in a while. I'll have a dream. Actually, I had a dream about this person last night. And I'm thinking, why am I going back there? What in that relationship did I not learn that my brain needs to now remind me of? And sometimes those dreams are a resolution in and of themselves. Like the one that I had last night had something to do with the fact that, oh, I don't have to stay. This is a relationship from like maybe like 10 years ago. And it was one that I felt like this person kept wanting to leave all the time. And I was like, no, you got to stay. This is what I need from you. And so this is what we have to do together. And it just wouldn't go. And I even went to a psychic at that time. And they said, honey, this is not a soulmate relationship. I know that you think it is, but it's not. And that was hard for me. And I didn't want to let go because I felt as though this is what I needed. This person had what I needed to complete me. That was before I really came into my own and realized I don't really need to have another person in order to be complete. I am 100% complete the way I am, and I'm connected to everything and everyone without having to do anything. So the subject of relationships is going to be a big focus for this year in general. A lot of people have asked questions already about, you know, aren't there some relationships that are forever? And it's like, it's hard for me to say, you know, yes and no, because I know that people, how much people put on it. And I guess what my whole platform is going to be is not whether or not this stuff is meant to be, not whether or not it's real or not real, but why we're creating the reality that this is the way things are supposed to be, and consistently disappointing ourselves because when we look at things, we don't get back what we think we're supposed to. And then we jump in and try to manipulate things because we think we're supposed to jump in and change things. That's an abuse of power on some level. If there's a person who absolutely has to leave or your life for some reason through any other, you know, through sickness and death or through, you know, just life moving them in a different direction, acceptance is how you're going to come to terms with that. And you need to get it from a higher perspective. You need to be able to see the real beauty of the creation here and how everything ebbs and flows in a way that is so perfect that you never have to question or worry that something's not going to go right. There are things that you need to take responsibility for. Those things pertain to you. Your job is not to be responsible for other people's decisions, for other people's mistakes. You're not to be responsible for them not ever making a mistake. Your job is always to be responsible to yourself. So with that, I'm going to start wrapping up the show here. I'm going to poke my head in the chat room again. I just want to say thank you to Guided Truths. I haven't met you before, I don't think, and I appreciate your contribution to the chat room today and the fact that you're in there trying to help other people understand this. It's really vitally important. We probably have similar paths, and I just want to say, you know, express my gratitude and let you know that I appreciate everybody being in there. Karen, thank you so much. My mom is in there. She hasn't said much, but she's in there. That's not like her. Sorry, Mom. But there's a whole lot of people in here, and it's really buzzing. I'm just really, really happy to see that. So with that, I think I have about a minute remaining. Tools of the trade, go out and play with them. Have a good time with them. Don't put all your thoughts on them and act like, you know, if I can't use this tool, I am a complete failure. Wrong. Do something else. Don't put those limits on yourself, because once you do that, you're going to stop. You're going to stop progressing. So keep going with it. Work with the guides and the angels, God, whoever you feel you're connected with, to build your spiritual vocabulary with them. Let them give you symbols. Continually write this stuff down so that you can recognize and remember them. This is how you're building your relationship with spirit, just like you build relationships here. You know that you can call up Judy if you have a problem with, you know, finances, because she's really good at that. You have a guide that can help you with that on the other side if that's your problem. So pick up your psychic phone and say, listen, guys, I really need help with this. I don't know who's available, but if somebody can help me out and just give me a sign, I would appreciate it. So thanks so much, guys, for being here. And as always, walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. I'll see you guys next week.